right, everybody, welcome in to Pickaxe and Roll, brought to you by our good friends over at Superbook Sports. I'm your host, Ryan Blackburn, at NBA Blackburn on Twitter, part of the Mile High Sports Podcast Network. And this is Weekends with Swipa, with my guy Swipa on the other side. We are here on a Sunday afternoon. Very excited to be able to chat with all y'all, even though it comes after a pretty unfortunate loss for the Denver Nuggets. Swipa, how you doing, my guy?
I'm all right, man. It's definitely been an interesting series so far. That's for sure. The playoffs have been really interesting. I'm kind of excited to see how things continue to roll from here. But hey, Nuggets are up 3-1, closest 3-1 deficit in NBA history, some might say.
Some might say that. Some might make a fool of themselves and actually say that. That would be pretty interesting, I think. It's fascinating to see how this series has been covered. You and I were talking about this prior to about the graphic that went up on ESPN on Game 4, and like during Game 4, of the minute disparity for how long each team has led in the series, and just like how some Lakers fans are now taking that and running and being like, oh man, this series is way closer than it actually is. Like, I mean, this should be a 2-2 series, or the Lakers should be leading 3-1, not the other way around. Like, come on, how could you possibly think that?
Yeah, look, man, look, I appreciate LeBron and AD and how great they've been. The Nuggets aren't making any jump shots. I'm talking about wide open jump shots. I told Ryan before the call started, look, this could be over in three if they were making just 38%, 36% of the three-pointers. But for whatever reason, you know, as the shooting goes, the Nuggets have decided to make this as hard as possible on themselves. And Jamal Murray is kind of in a mental funk right now when it comes to a shot, because he's seeing so much crowded space. He's playmaking at a high level. But Michael Porter Jr. kind of taking over the reins as the second best offensive player on the team. So maybe that's a good thing going forward.
Yeah. It might be. It honestly might be, because just watching Murray over the course of these past few games and just like throughout the season, really struggling to try to like just get back healthy, figure out how he can do his best. Like, it's clearly been a struggle for him physically, and just trying to make that work. To your point, Denver now down to 25% from three on wide open attempts in this series. They are making 4.3 out of 17 wide open 3-point attempts per game, according to NBA.com. That is tied for the worst in the NBA with the Dallas Mavericks. And fortunately for Denver here, like, the Lakers are 26%. It's not like they have been shooting much better on their end. What they've did and how they won this last game was they attacked the rim with reckless abandon. They did everything they could to score in the paint. And the Nuggets didn't really provide as much resistance as you would probably hope for a team that was up 3-0 that really wanted to close the door. And the Lakers, to their credit, they fought back. They made this not a series, but like they staved off elimination. They prevented elimination, and the Nuggets are now going to have to do an elimination game on their home floor instead. And we'll see whether they could shoot a little bit better, but we'll get into all of that. We'll get into all the layers of this. I think that there's plenty of stuff for us to talk about, whether it's good stuff, bad stuff, whatever, all of it in between. Where do you want to start on Game 4? Because I think that there's plenty of places that we can go. Do we want to start with the good? Do we want to start with the bad? Where do we want to go?
Let's just start with the start. You know, let's start with the fact that the Nuggets have refused to start well. They just say last year, they hadn't beaten the Lakers in the playoff series. They had not ever swept anyone before. They had just beaten the Phoenix Suns. And so they were like full of energy. That first quarter, Jokic went crazy, like a double-double in the first quarter. Jamal's making shots. The crowd is losing its mind. Dunks so far, dunks away, dunks near, everywhere. And this year, the Nuggets have just been like, get down double digits in the first quarter. I don't care. We're gonna come back. I don't care. Let's get it to the fourth quarter. Down 20 doesn't mean nothing to me. Down 15 doesn't mean nothing to me. Down 12, down 10, down 11. We're gonna come back anyway. That's how they've been starting off the game.
It's the power of friendship.
Like, what is
the power of friendship is bringing the Nuggets back, and it's certainly not anything that they're actually doing other than trying.
Like, what are we doing? Like, why are we coming out with energy like this? It's just like, oh, well, we're going to beat them anyway. It's just like, well, can you just do it? Like, start the game that way and just like take advantage of the opportunity in front of you. And just look, especially, you know, they're going to be at home, Ryan. So if there's ever a time to do it, but this is the thing, Ryan. They did this in game four last year in the first round, Ryan Blackburn.
Yes, they did.
They had a chance to sweep the Wolves. And what happened? They decide, Jokic in particular, decides to troll at the free throw line. And he then decides to miss a free throw. Could have won the game. Then it got sent to overtime. And then they get beat. And so we're in this situation again this year, bro, where I'm just looking at them like, y'all know that y'all can dismantle this team. And they're just like, I don't feel like it. Not today. Not now. Maybe in the third quarter for 6 minutes. Maybe in the fourth for 7 minutes. But outside of that, we're just not going to do it. And it's even the intensity. Like, they're just like, they're not jumping into the ring. Like, LeBron and AD are just, you know, LeBron does the dunk and then he does the skip across the bench and all that kind of stuff. And he's flexing. AD is dunking and yelling. And it's like, you know, Jokic and Murray just like, okay, pass the ball in.
It's funny. Like, I I really thought that Denver was going to come back like everybody did.
Right.
I thought that this was going to happen. They're going to get burned eventually. And I think that when you do something over and over and over and over and over and over again,
right,
it's the definition of insanity to expect anything different. So the Nuggets, they just played the same game that they had always played. They go down and they try to use the power of vibes and friendship to come back. And I think that they thought that they were going to hold the Lakers to about like 20 points offensively,
right,
in that fourth quarter, but that didn't happen. The Lakers scored 28 points. They kept like every time the Nuggets tried to lock in, the Lakers, hey, this time they actually had an answer. They actually had an answer for what the Nuggets were trying to do. And that is like not surprising at this point, because the Lakers weren't going to have this happen to them a 12th straight time. Like, that was just, it would have been too much to ask for them to lose in this same manner, in this same complete aspect for that. And yet Denver, they were still like on the precipice of coming back. It felt like, right, they just needed one bounce here, one missed jumper there, like one defensive stop here. And it actually could have happened, but they let go of the rope and they couldn't keep themselves attached. And now they have to play an extra game because of it, because of, it was kind of lazy, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, their pick and roll defense was horrible, like, again, you know, in spots, and then it got good again. But then at some point, Austin Reeves and D'Lo, they got enough confidence and started making shots. And then the Nuggets, you know, they were get back in the third quarter, but then the Lakers, Darvin Ham made a great, you know, did a great job at halftime enforcing the idea that, look, you cannot let go of the rope. And so they fought and fought and fought in the third quarter, and they were still ahead double digits going into the fourth, and that's what saved the game. If it would have been a 5 or 6 point lead, then the conversation's different. Now the Lakers are not going to believe. The Nuggets are going to believe. But the whole thing with LeBron James, you got to put LeBron James out. Like, that's just the way it worked. But that's what the Nuggets did last year. They did that last year. The Lakers aren't just going to quit. So you have to go beat them. And so, you know, it's just frustrating because they definitely could have taken care of business and gotten it done. But the Lakers were going to come out with a heavy, 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 heavy hook. And the Nuggets just did not do a good job of, I think, meeting that energy, just because they just didn't feel like it was going to be necessary.
Did you hear about this comment? Like, yeah. Did you hear about this? Like, did this actually happen? Like,
so apparently the bus got delayed on the way. I think it might have got stuck in traffic. I don't know if you've been to LA in traffic before.
I certainly have. It's not right. Great.
Yeah, I think it got delayed yesterday in traffic. So literally everybody warmed up in slippers. So once that happened, I was like, oh, so not only are the Nuggets not taking the series of players, the equipment staff also is showing the same energy.
Okay. Well, that sort of makes sense why they didn't get off to their best start.
Right.
They're like, they're not warmed up. Like, they're clearly taking their time. So, oh my God, that's so funny. I did not know that this was a thing. Like, I was doing a pregame show during that time, and then that must have missed it, because like I'm not super online when I'm at number 38. But that's hilarious, man. What the hell? Like, that's Les Subterfuge. I think I saw the comments from JK Walrus. That's pretty funny. Les Subterfuge. Right. So yeah, look, I mean, we could come up with all the excuses that we want to. Denver had an opportunity. They had several opportunities in this game.
Right.
I don't think the Lakers played so well on either end of the floor that this wasn't like this. This was a game that Denver could have taken if they so chose. Mm-hmm. And they didn't. They just didn't. Whether it was Jamal Murray's shooting struggles or it was the bench scoring 5 points on 9 shots, like so much of that offense, by the way, is just like, hey, Jamal didn't score, so he's going to try to pass it off to somebody else, and then they pass it back to Jamal. Like, that's just what the bench design is right now. I think that at this point, like, Denver's got to think about starting better. Like, that's just how it's got to be. They can't start slow once again. And this was the first time where they actually got caught. And I wonder if they have some frustration heading into Game 5, or at least have some kind of righting of the ship mentally. And we'll see whether they actually put that together. Do you have any concerns about them starting slow in Game 5?
Yes.
Yeah. Because it's happened every time so far.
Yeah, they're playing the Lakers. Yeah. I don't know what to tell you. Like, they're not, they don't look at the Lakers like the Lakers look at them. So, you know, I think hopefully, like I said, really it's their defense. Like, they keep letting the Lakers go on these 8-0 runs and, you know, getting to just stop it. Like Malone knows. He's going to tell them like the same thing he said in March 23 when they started losing those games. He's like, I don't like it. I'm telling them, don't do it. But then they just do it sometimes. Like, and the thing is, the Nuggets have been so dominant this season, like since, you know, February 22nd, especially. And by the way, Ryan Blackburn, they also messed up something else. Do you know that they were 13-1 in their last 14 playoff games prior to yesterday?
I didn't know that, but it makes sense.
13-1. So
pretty crazy.
They have been dominating, man, but like, and they had won 6 straight road games in the playoffs included.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, they just let go. Like, you just, you know, they had a lapse in their brain and then was like, all right, well, cool. We're not making 3-point shots. We're not going to play defense. And also Austin and also LeBron James and Anthony Davis combined for 25 of 40 from the field. And Reeves and D'Lo combined for 15 of 30 from the field. I mean, that's your game.
Makes sense. And it's going to be something that Denver's got to figure out. They did not go to the KCP on LeBron, AG on Anthony Davis defense that they had in previous times where they needed a comeback. And I wonder if that sort of had something to do with it. But honestly, like, Joker's just got to play better defense. AG's got to play better defense on the ball.
Right.
And then every time that LeBron would hunt for a switch, it was usually just on Jamal.
Conceding it.
Jamal is getting switched onto LeBron and getting cooked, like, pretty much every single time. So
right.
That's got to change. He's got to provide a little bit more resistance, or the Nuggets have to do a better job when he gets switched in terms of giving help and giving the proper help. But right. We'll see what happens. I'm interested to talk about that, but I think we should talk about Jamal in the second segment. I think we should talk about
shooting
struggles, what he's
been
doing.
That's your guy. So you better defend him. Defend him with your honor, Ryan Blackburn.
I don't have to defend like anything. Like, he has shot like shit. Like, there's a sorry. Very clearly.
He was crying last night, as y'all can see, seeing Jamal Murray miss all those open.
Yeah,
layups.
No, like, I'm choking. Excuse me. yeah.
Wait,
we'll
call
talk about
Devin,
Jamal.
Did you call yourself Devin Booker just now? I'm sorry. My bad. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No. What were you saying?
Did you just call yourself Devin Booker just now? You said,
oh yeah,
choking.
Yeah. Exactly. Sorry. That's exactly what I did. excuse me. Yeah. That's now on the internet forever. Okay. Everybody, here, we're gonna take a break. When we come back, we are gonna chat about Jamal Murray and the shooting struggles. We will see what happens. Should be very interesting. But first, let's talk about Autograph, the podcast sponsor in the bottom right corner over there. They're doing a great job of setting up the table for all Nuggets fans. All you got to do is read the Autograph feed in the app. You can read my articles in there. You can listen to my podcast in there. You can listen to Swipe a Show on the Swipe a Cam channel in there. There's plenty of opportunity from the Autograph app. All you got to do is sign up using code MHS. And they do a fantastic job of putting the best Nuggets coverage curated for you. Everybody, make sure to go check that out at Autograph, and make when you do sign up, use that QR code and sign up using code MHS. Should be great. We'll be right back on Pickaxe and Roll. And we're back. Pickaxe and Roll, Ryan Blackburn here. Thank you so much for tuning into the show. This is Weekends with Swipa. Really appreciate the audience for hopping in, stopping by. Thank you so much for tuning into the show. The chat is very excited for me to talk about Jamal Murray and the struggles that he has had so far. They know that I'm the guy for Jamal. That's what I like to say. But it would be nice if Jamal could hit some shots. I think that's probably where we should start, Swipa.
Look, man, that's my dude. Like, yeah, everybody knows how I feel about Jamal. I think he's incredible. He's been a 25-5-5 player in his career in playoffs. Ryan, he's shooting 44, had a 44 true shooting on the series. Like, that means nothing to me, honestly. Like, he's gone from a 58 in the regular season to like a 61, I think, or 60 in his playoff career, 60 or 59. And to go to a 44 true shooting, you're not making any shots. He's shot the ball at least 21 plus times in every game, has not made 10 shots yet in any game this series. That's not Jamal. And he missed free throws yesterday. And he missed layups.
Yeah.
He's in his head. Like, I know that, like, you know, people were trying to point to Reeves and all that stuff, but he didn't even do this last year versus Miami. You know, like, he's just not hitting threes. You know, they're doing a good job of crowding his space, but he just doesn't have the, like, mentally, he just seems like he's a little bit, like, cagey right now. But he's going to get out of it soon just because that's just the way Jamal works. But he just is, like, he just doesn't look as sure about his jump shot in some ways as he usually does. So him and KCP, like, they're just missing a lot of shots right now. So we'll see what happens, obviously, in the next game. But, you know, Jamal, if he's shooting 48% from the field right now, the series is over. The games aren't close, but that's just what it is right now. Jamal is just not – he's not able to carry the normal load as a shooter as he usually is, but Michael Porter's been able to pick that up. But hopefully, game five, he's able to get a bounce back.
Yeah, the thing that has really concerned me, there are two things that concern me with Jamal that I think that the injuries are really, they've mounted up with him. And I do not think that heading into this year, he was as healthy as he was heading into last year. I think that has affected him both physically and mentally. But the other thing is he's just not decisive. And that's with, maybe that's combined with the injury struggles. He may not know the level of separation that he can actually get in this series. And I don't know if he's trusting that. Very clearly, it does not look like he is, like, some people will say the mental side of things, but I honestly think that it's probably Jamal just not being able to trust his body as well as he would hope to. And when you're not able to separate from Austin Reeves, that's how you know that, like, I mean, because we've seen Jamal separate from Austin Reeves before. We've seen him put up 30 points on 50, 40, 90 in this series before. Like, we know what he's capable of. But what's actually happening right now is he's allowing Austin Reeves to kind of stay attached. He's doing the thing where he allows the guy to dribble on his, like, when he's, the guy's on his back and he's doing the crab dribble and he's trying to protect the ball. He's trying to work through tight spaces. His back is to the basket a lot. Like, that's what happens when you're not really feeling the athleticism. You're not really turning and facing. You're not really an active threat to drive by somebody. And I think that he is bothered by that physically. And that is really affecting because he's doing a lot of jump passing. He's doing a lot of pivoting. He's doing a lot of, like, up and unders and fakes and things like that, rather than just getting downhill or getting to a spot and shooting. And that to me is a telltale sign that he's just not at the right place physically.
Right. Yeah, it obviously sucks. But again, if they take care of business, they'll have like 4 or 5 days off, then you can rest. You can do what you need to do. But look, man, this is the playoffs. Like, you know, you gotta do it. Like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But like I said, I think the good news is that Porter has been able to carry the load. He's averaging 22 points a game on 65 true shooting right now. Like, that's insane. And I noted this, y'all, to Ryan before the show, but Porter is shooting the same level of efficiency as Anthony Davis in this series.
Yeah, it's crazy.
and as a jump shooter on volume. He had 27 and 11 yesterday, Ryan. So I just think that, like, look, you know, if he needs to, like, in game five, be more of an off-ball threat, you know, while Porter and Nikola Jokic make it work, then that's what just needs to happen. Like, but I think the big thing is you're going to have to hit your shots, though. Like, you're going to have to get into a position where you can make use of your jump shot, you know, because you just can't shoot 20% from three as a starting point guard for the Denver Nuggets. It just can't happen because you're not even a threat right now.
Yeah, and, like, he was 0-4 in this last game. He took 17 shots inside the arc, like 19 shots inside the arc, I want to say. And when you're at that level as a guard, like, that's just not the right proportion. The Nuggets have clearly struggled with their outside shooting as a team throughout the series. And I wonder if that's just affecting everybody, because it really is just Joker and MPJ who are shooting the ball with any reasonable level. And that sucks because, like, it sort of feels like it's been contagious for the entire team. But I think it starts with Jamal. Once he breaks out of his slump, I think the rest of the team will follow. But it's only going to follow once he does, because he is very much the emotional heartbeat of this team in a lot of ways, as the emotional center of this team in a lot of ways. Joker is the stability. He's the guy who provides the structure for everything. But the Nuggets know that when Jamal's going, they're basically unbeatable. Mm-hmm. And even though Mike has really stepped up in this moment, like, I think it's going to have to come from Jamal in general, just, like, really changing the mentality of the team in this series, giving them the utmost confidence that it should happen, because the plan initially is always, always, always the Jokic-Murray two-man game. Right. Maybe it shouldn't be. Maybe Denver should, like, while Jamal is struggling like this, maybe they should try to come up with an opportunity to feature Mike and Jokic a little bit more together. Maybe that should happen.
I don't know. They're going to play Rui on Mike, then, you know, look, I mean, I'm sorry, Mike is a lot better than him. Like, a lot. Absolutely. A lot of it. And if he's a good enough dribbler with the ball, like, even the DHO you ran yesterday, he came off the right side and had, like, movement three. So if you got to play more with him and let him do that in the first half, at least, while Jamal's playing off ball, and maybe they can just get it going. Like, can you get him some, maybe a couple pin downs or elevator screens or something like that, where you can give him an opportunity to get a wide open three and get the game started well? Because if he starts making his threes to start the game, then that's when everything changes for the Lakers. They realize they have no hope. They can't defend the Nuggets anymore.
So Porter was plus four in this last game in a game that the Nuggets lost by 11.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
That's huge.
And it was in 40 minutes too. So the other 15 minutes, or the other 8 minutes, the Nuggets lost by 15 points.
Like, right.
It's the lack of spacing out there. It's the lack of shooting out there that has really hurt them. And this is usually where somebody like Jamal really steps up and provides that extra level of shooting. But nobody has really provided that extra level of shooting because, as we talked about before, Denver's missing all their wide open shots. KCP on the series is now shooting 31.8% from three, I think. Christian Brown has yet to hit a three in the series. Peyton Watson, you just can't trust with the jumper, and they're going to leave him open. And then Justin Holiday, somebody who I thought might really play a role in this series, he's been bad.
Clank.
It's been really bad. Like, I can't believe how bad he has been just spacing the floor for the team so far.
But this first year today.
Yeah, like, it's just one of those things where I think it has been contagious. And the Nuggets, like, J.K. Walrus says it here, zero found money in this series so far. Every win that the Nuggets have come up with has really stemmed from the starters. It stemmed from how good Jokic has been, how good Porter has been, how good Aaron Gordon has been, a Jamal Murray fourth quarter in game two, things like that. KCP in game one, where he hits four threes. Actually, let me think about that. How many
in the third quarter?
KCP's hit 7 out of 22, I think.
Three other threes the entire rest of the series.
And so he hit four in game one's third quarter, and then the rest of the time he's at three. So it has been a slog. It's been
Jokic
ugly.
And it's been Murray. Or sorry, Jokic and Porter. That's
Jokic it. And Porter are the only guys that have really been able to carry them through this. And I wonder if, hell, maybe they should try to get Porter even more shots. Like, I know he's tired.
Let me tell you this: who and Porter? Okay, we don't give him credit. He is in ridiculous shape.
He's been playing great. Like,
he doesn't
like,
get tired.
27th most minutes in the regular season of anybody. And he played 81 out of 82 games. Probably could have played 82.
Right.
And just the way that he has handled things, the way he has handled his business has been dope. It's been exactly what you're hoping for from him.
Right.
And for all the talk that I've had, and there have been a lot of folks that have battled over the years about, okay, maybe Porter is the number two option. Maybe he's the guy who steps up and can really be the number two to Jokic's number one. Like, this is a series that illustrates why folks like that have a point.
There's only a couple of people that said he couldn't do it. It wasn't one of us. So
yeah, that's true.
He is. Look, dude, Porter, and that's what I love about what the series has done. It's like, oh, Murray's missing the shots and stuff. It's like, well, if you look on the left, there's this guy that's like getting to the rim almost at will, off ball. And then as soon as he touches the ball on the three-point line, the Lakers are like, oh, gosh. He can't miss a shot.
It's awesome. It's been a lot of closure. Like, anytime that he has missed a shot, by the way, everybody's surprised. Everybody's shocked.
He's a closer, bro. Like, he literally gets into the fourth quarter and like starts just putting bodies in the dirt.
Yeah.
Like jump shots over people.
So Joker on the series. Let me read those Joker stats here.
Read those stats with the true shooting involved.
Ooh.
Read all of them. No, read the entirety of the stats. Read them. Read them, bro. Read all of them.
29 points per game. 15.3 rebounds per game. 10.0 assists per game now. 1.5 steals. He's shooting 59.7% from the field, 38.5% from three, 92.6% from the line. He has been locked in, dialed from the free throw line. That true shooting is at 69.1%. PER of 35.1, BPM of 16.9. Like, and he's doing it, like, the usage rate isn't crazy.
No.
Like, Jamal Murray's usage rate is higher than Jokic's usage rate, and it's actually not really close.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably got to change in game five. Like, I know that Jokic has been trying to drag Murray along and trying to get him into that place and continue to say, hey, we need you. We need you. We need you. Not necessarily for one off game. And like I think that they could get by in game five where Jamal takes 15 shots and Joker takes 25. That would be my advice to the Nuggets in this case would be like, look, nobody can stop Joker. Nobody can stop him. He has been unstoppable in this series for the vast majority of it. Get him the Brock. Like, let him cook. Like, that's how it's gotta be.
Right. Yeah. And I think, man, like, you know, Joker, by the time game five ends, right, I think we'll be averaging 30 points a game in this series on a 30-point triple double. And, this is closing time for Joker. Like, I think you're going to get the most serious. This is like one punch man, serious punch. This would be the most serious punch you'll have gotten from Joker since the NBA Finals last year. So I do think that this is going to be a great opportunity for him to shut the door. And, you know, look, just let Maul, like, get your rest. Again, I think he, you know, if he turns around and hits his shots, then again, his curtains all over the place. But yeah, I think Joker's also good enough by himself to be able to get, like, all right, y'all. I'll take 27 shots this game. I'm going to make 19 of them, and we're going to go home.
Comments are wiling on Jamal right now. Just like some of these things that are being said are insane. Just flat out insane. Like,
you should hear I see the things they say about me when I'm not on Ryan Blackburn's podcast. Ryan would have an Emmy right now if Swiper wasn't here. Ryan would have an Emmy if Swiper wasn't tearing down his podcast.
Ain't, bro. My podcast would suck without you.
Stop.
It'd be so bad. People would be like, oh man, this white man is talking into a mic for an hour. Where have we seen this before?
every additional podcast host for every player podcast, black player, random white guy.
Random white host. That's my, you know, honestly, I think I could fit that bill. I think I could fit that bill.
Definitely.
If Jamal ever wants to start a podcast, then I could fill the role of like random white dude.
Yeah. In non-playable character white guy podcast host.
So when did you know that you guys were going to win the title? Like
has this person ever hosted a podcast before? Who is this?
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
Did his dad fund the podcast?
I have no idea. No idea. Oh my gosh. What's this Knicks Lakers score? Oh, okay, so Knicks Sixers. Sixers have separated a little bit in the third quarter. We'll keep track of that, everybody. But yeah, we will see what happens here. I'm very curious to see how the Nuggets sort of respond in game five. Will be very interesting. Not a lot needs to be said on this one in particular, in my opinion, like with game four, with game five. Like, we've seen the storyline play out, man. Like, we know what's going to happen here. We know what everybody is expecting. And like, know that the Nuggets have to bring it in game five, because the Lakers aren't just going to roll over, I don't think, unless the Nuggets like hit them in the mouth immediately. Like,
and they're up by 25 points. I just don't think that
they will.
Right. And the Nuggets haven't shown they're going to play hard enough to get a 25 points so far in the series.
Yeah. How cool would that be if they did? That would be, it would make things simpler. You could have a party on the floor. That would be fun. When was the last time the Nuggets actually closed out a game at home? Actually, it was the finals. And then they did it in the first round series, but they didn't do it against the Lakers. They didn't do it against the Suns.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it'd be kind of nice to see
closing time at home.
Yeah.
A dominant closing time game at home.
That would be nice. The last time we were hoping for that, like, the Nuggets have just not been able to dominate in these closeout games. Like, think about, like, they did it in the Suns, but they did not do it against the Lakers. They did not do it against the Heat. They did not do it against the T-Wolves. All those games were close. All those games were stressful. So I'm sort of expecting more of the same, but it would be nice to get the other side of things. It would be nice to see that.
Yeah, what I love about fans, and everybody in here knows me very well, and I'm obviously a very hospitable, very nice person, because obviously I wouldn't be here without all the support that I've gotten over the years. The 3 years and 4 months Swiper has existed. So this is all new, and I obviously very much show love and appreciation. But some, meaning the minority, meaning the small, meaning the tiny, tiny, tiny people, that make these insidious, ridiculous comments about NBA players. I'm just like, I can tell you this right now. Jamal Murray is 6'5" and probably has 11% body fat, takes care of himself, shows up for his team every single year, battles through injury, plays through injury, came back from an ACL injury. He always continues to show up for his team. And I get that sometimes 3-4 game sample sizes are really, really, really difficult to deal. But guess what? He also handed the Denver Nuggets their first NBA championship ever last year, not even a full year ago. So, yeah, look, I get Joker is Joker, and Joker's a top 10 player all time, and he could finish as high as 6 or 5. But Joker ain't winning no title without Jamal Murray or Mike or AG or KCP. So, you know, I think sometimes we get so lost in, like, single-game performances, and I understand why it's frustrating, but even the GOAT himself says, and knows he can't get the job done unless Jamal is Jamal. So just want to keep it at that.
It's very important for people to remember that. Very important for people to appreciate that. It's something that I try to instill with every single time during the playoffs last year, that as awesome as Joker is, like, we will have plenty of time to appreciate Joker. But in order to appreciate all the moments along the way, you got to understand, as Astrid says, basketball is a team sport. And the person who knows that more than anybody else is Nikola Jokic.
And Michael Jordan, who didn't win squat without Scottie Pippen and without Phil Jackson. And LeBron James, who hasn't won squat, unless he has a fully healthy team, got dog walked by the Warriors multiple times because he had a hurt squad or had a lesser squad. Steph Curry, dog walked out of the playoffs because everybody said he didn't have a reliable number two. Luka Doncic, out of the playoffs last year, might not beat the OKC Thunder this year. Embiid never made it to the conference finals before because he's not been good enough and his teammates haven't been good enough. Giannis, one title, nothing since. Can't even play. Can't even finish the series or finish the season. But you know what he's relying on? Chris Middleton get 48 points in a game. What was that? Game three? In a game three with the Pacers.
Sick.
That's the way basketball works. So I think a lot of people, man, like, people just be like, look, Kobe Bryant, Cedric, didn't win squat. Missed the playoffs at his apex. People said he should have won MVP the year he missed the playoffs. MVP. Missed the playoffs. And then on top of that, was up 3-1 and got dog walked by Steve Nash. So I'm telling you, go up and down the list. Wilt Chamberlain never won squat until he got Jerry West. Elgin Baylor, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 NBA finals. Ringless. Jerry West wasn't winning squat until he got Wilt Chamberlain. We can go up and down this list, Ryan Blackburn. This is the NBA. You don't win unless you get blessed. I'm talking about blessed from the heavens. With good health, with a competent ownership, and a competent front office. That's just the way NBA works, man. So everybody like getting on Jamal and all that stuff. I get it, bro. But like, this is the league. Do you think you could be the Celtics right now? The Celtics just got beat by 11 points to a team without Jimmy Butler. And they came back and they won the next game. But the reason why everybody ain't picking the Celtics to win, because they don't think they got the dudes to do it. Because up here, they fall apart consistently. But you never had to worry about that with Jamal, for him not showing up. And so I think for me, I don't even feel like I gotta defend Jamal. I'm just saying, keep it in context, that this is just the way the NBA works. Okay, guess what, Ryan Blackburn? The LA Lakers are probably going to be home down after going down 4-1 and losing to the Denver Nuggets for the 11th time out of the 12th time out of 13 games. And you know what's going to happen? LeBron isn't good enough to win it by himself. AD is not good enough. They need help. They need better players than Reeves and D'Lo. They need a better coach than Darvin Ham. They need a better GM than Rob Pelinka. Check the NBA. That's the way the NBA works. So everything that you're experiencing right now in this little minute 3-4 game sample size for Jamal Murray, you remember the rest of the league. Kawhi Leonard's out today. No, can't play. So that's what I'm saying. Like, just open your eyes. Like, this is, you are blessed to even be in this scenario. Like, that's what I'm telling y'all. Like, people really just be like, like Jamal, like you Jokic got 4-1 by the Warriors, Ryan, because Jamal wasn't there. Got embarrassed. People said he wasn't a top 5 player in the league. He didn't make top 75 all time, Ryan, behind Dame and AD, because he hadn't had enough playoff success. So, you know, cool.
We keep playoff success is important. Teammates are important. All the factors. It's so hard to win a championship, man. It is so, so difficult. And you need every little thing.
Right.
And it would be nice for, like, I think in this next game, you get some help from everybody. You get some shooting from everybody. You get some athleticism and transition play and just some opportunities from everybody, where everybody can pick up Jamal in this moment, because he's clearly struggling. He's clearly, it's been tough, and that's fine. Like, I'm not worried about it. I think that, like, I know who he is. I know what this team is. I know that they are the best starting five in the NBA. There's no doubt in my mind about it. All you got to do is get through the series, get some rest, and get mentally prepared for the next round. That should be the goal. And I think that we can all agree on that front, that it's never on one person. It's never on Joker. It's never on Jamal. It's never on Mike. It's on the team. Very excited for it. Let's take one more break. When we come back, we are going to talk about some of the other playoff series around the NBA. We're gonna chat a little bit of talk. Well, we're going to have a lot of fun. Should be a lot of fun. But first, this message from Kim Becker. I there are certain folks in the comments that I'm having, I have very much had enough of. We're going to go over the spot track. Swiper, can you pull up that comment that basically says, trade Jamal's contract, you could easily get a star for the $5 million, or the five-year, $150 million contract that Jamal has signed. You could easily get a star for that amount of money. Easily. Come on. Yeah, that one. I on a show, like, who else is making that much money?
Yeah, let me see.
Zach LaVine. 5 years, mm-hmm. $215 million.
Didn't play this year.
Karl Anthony Towns, 4 years, $221 million.
Third best player on his own team.
LaMelo Ball, 5 years, $204 million.
Yeah. Bring that up again. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Like Desmond Bane, 5 years, $197 million.
Role player, also missed the playoffs because he was missing his best player.
Darius Garland, 5 years, $197 million.
And they are now 2-2 with the Orlando Magic. Mm-hmm.
Zion Williamson, 5 years, $197 million.
Currently not playing in the NBA playoffs.
Ja Morant, 5 years, $197 million.
Enough said.
Klay Thompson, 5 years, $189 million.
Defeated in the play-in, 0-3 in the play-in in his career.
Domantas Sabonis, 4 years, $186 million.
Cannot shoot with his right hand. Also, has not gotten past the first round. Also, not in the playoffs. Also, was missing role players, and it's not going to get blamed at all because they're missing two role players. So,
Tobias Harris, 5 years, $180 million.
Philly fans have been trying to get rid of him since he signed that contract.
Ben Simmons, 5 years, $177 million.
Ben Simmons is literally the most untradeable contract maybe in NBA history right now.
Paul George, 4 years, $176 million.
He had 7 points in a game that Kawhi Leonard had just came back from last game, I think, and they lost to the Mavericks. Now down in the series.
Damian Lillard, 4 years, $176 million.
Yeah, that's not working out super well. I believe they got a coach fired, and Doc Rivers has a losing record with them, and I believe they're also on way to losing to the Indiana Pacers. And Doc Rivers just said he has like an Achilles injury that he might not be able to play through as well at 33 years old.
And I could name De'Aaron Fox, Donovan Mitchell, Bam Adebayo, and even Jeremy Grant, who has a 5-year, $160 million deal.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon Ingram has the same contract that Jamal Murray has.
Yeah. And he could, what else to say? Yeah, he's a good player, but
everybody needs to calm down. Calm down. Quit chatting shit on contracts. It's stupid. And oh, by the way, yeah, Bradley Beal, 5 years, $250 million.
With three years left after this one.
Like, it's just, it's irresponsible for Nuggets fans to be talking about contracts right now.
And it's only a couple of them. Just, you know, we realize that. But this has also been a purveying conversation since Jamal went down with his injury.
Let's pivot.
There's no way to get Ryan Blackburn matter than to criticize his beloved Jamal Murray.
Or to
ask him about his whereabouts on January 6th. I'm not saying which year. I'm just saying that both of those questions may elicit some anger from him.
Mm.
So avoid both those topics when discussing Ryan Blackburn.
Both of those topics. You realize how red like you can make me get by saying just that? Like, that's insane. That is insane. And I hate it. Good Lord. Oh, God.
I'm just saying, I was not with you on that day. That's all I'm saying. I was not next to you.
Where was I on January 6th? I'm trying to remember, like, what exactly I was doing. I assume I was in my apartment in Lakewood at the time. No, because I was still living at home. That was part of the pandemic. I was still living at home. Yeah, I was living at home with the parents at that point. Immediately after college. Man, it's wild. Jesus Christ.
The fact that he feels like he needs to defend himself to tell y'all all y'all need to know.
In my apartment, yeah. Oh my God. Let's talk about the rest of the playoffs here real quick. We'll just spend like 10 minutes on this. I would expect the T-Wolves to finish off the Suns here, but it would make me feel a lot better if the Suns actually did exactly what the Lakers just did and extend the series and force it to go at least five. Do you expect that to go five?
No, not at this point. The Suns they have not shown me to be a team that can show up at all in the grid. They don't have LeBron or AD on it.
Yeah.
I have a lot more playoff respect for LeBron and AD than I do for Kevin Durant, Booker, and Beal.
I firmly agree at this point. I was so wrong on the Suns, man. I was so wrong.
Me too.
Just wild. Me too. On other series, OKC is now up 3-0 on New Orleans. Do you expect that to go any further than four?
Yeah, if they had Zion. But no, there is no Zion. So, no.
Yeah, that's a tough one, right? Like, Pelicans get cursed every year with these injuries. But it's also like you tie up your team to Brandon Ingram and Zion Williamson, and you kind of have to reap the rewards of that. They traded for CJ McCollum, and he solved a short-term issue for them, but also really made it difficult for them to advance in the playoffs because he's just not good enough.
Right.
That's a problem for them, and they're gonna have to change their team. Like, I expect at least one of Brandon Ingram or CJ McCollum to be gone from that team after this season.
Brandon for sure. Brandon, like Warriors, Rockets, one of those kind of teams for sure.
He's up for a contract extension. Like, Jamal is up for a contract extension this offseason. Brandon Ingram's up for a contract extension, and he's probably going to want max money. That dude probably does not deserve max money.
I mean, within the scope of the market, he does as a market share, but from a value to basketball within a cap system, no.
Yeah. Ain't no way. Like, everybody understands what you need to build a championship team now, and, like,
right.
Ingram's skill set just isn't, like, that's not what you need.
Do you think he'd be better than Porter is on the team?
No. I don't.
Just given what he would have to be, what he would have to step into.
So now, like, Bruce Brown's gone for Denver, and so, like, maybe you need a little bit more ball handling and creation and something for that reason. So maybe Ingram could, like, run some DHOs with somebody like Jokic, or maybe he could run some pick and roll, post up a little bit. Like, Denver could use that skill set. It's like, it's the, hey, Jamal, we need you to be healthy kind of skill set. Here's what Brandon Ingram can kind of do if that happens. But I prefer what Porter's done, man. Like,
he's not the rebounder, and at this point, not the defender that Porter is either.
Not even close. Like, Porter has really stepped up, and, like, Ingram is, like, he's a sieve on the defensive end. Like, that dude has no idea what he's doing or chooses not to. Like, it's wild to watch.
His ball handling and like pull-up shooting next to Joker and Murray would be like really nice. But yeah, I think that's the conversation he's in though. Like, you would not replace Jamal Murray. You're not winning championship with him instead of Jamal. So, I mean,
ain't no way.
That ends the conversation.
Ain't no way. Like, you need somebody that's actually like a competitor. And that dude, I'm just not sure he's at that level.
I think, how do you feel about this? Do you think when Bruce gets released off that team option, do you think that could be he could come back next year on a mid-level?
So Denver would have to free up some money. There's like actual financial ramifications that they have to have in order to figure that out.
I mean, Bruce is going to get some money from somewhere, but I'm just like, if he would have stayed this year, he would have been able to re-sign for like $462 or $562 this next year, you know, if he would have stayed. And he would have more money in that deal than he obviously ended up getting on this one. But I know the 2 years, $42 million sounded really nice, and I obviously respect him for doing that. But they were just such a perfect harmony, you know. Yeah. But there's another player that did that, though. Who did that? Was that Sean Livingston that left and came back to the Warriors?
Yeah, he did that. I know that Trevor Ariza did it with the Rockets as well. Rockets.
Mm-hmm.
Teams, like, they, that Iguodala probably would have if, like, actually, no, he did do that, didn't he? Like, after getting traded.
Oh, he went to Miami and Memphis.
Yeah, and then came back to Golden State.
Right.
The biggest issue there is the money aspect of it, where, like, Denver's going to have to pay KCP. They're probably going to give him a raise.
20. I think 20 to 8. I think he's going to ceiling a 20, but I think 18 is his floor.
Yeah. So if more it's, than let's say it is 18, because I think that's probably a nice happy medium there. Then that's another $3 million that you're adding to his salary. Murray's money's going up. Porter's money's going up. Jokic's money, like his supermax kicks in. It already kicked in. So, but he's still like, he's getting those 8.5% raises.
He's overpaid, if you ask me.
Yeah. Let's I agree. Like
just 30, 33, 14, and 14 in the game four of a playoff game. I mean, come on.
Yeah. I mean, who does that?
Like, a lot of people can do that.
Yeah, exactly. But no, like, so Denver, obviously, like, all their money is outlined perfectly for their starting unit. Those guys pay, like, they pay each of those guys, I think, equitably for what they provide. In some ways, you could say that they're underpaid. But because of the Zeke Nagy contract and the Reggie Jackson contract, and those aren't even like large numbers. It's just that Denver pays for the best starting five that they could possibly get. and it's hard to pay Bruce Brown in that regard. So I don't know if Bruce is going to make that amount of money. I don't know if a team is going to say, yeah, you know, if you're getting the, if you're declining a $20 million team option, we'll pay him 10.
The saving grace can only pay him five. The saving grace, though, for the team, for not for him, for the Nuggets possibly, is that he played so poorly for the Raptors.
Yeah.
That they're just like, he doesn't fit any roles with the Nuggets. And the Nuggets are just, you know, Dave Chappelle, Rick James meme, just, just come on back in here.
Come on back. You know where you want to be. Let's go.
You are beloved in this city, sir. We'll name a beer after you. We will literally name an IPA beer after you, Bruce Brown. Come back to Denver.
Dallas Clippers. Like we already talked about, like Kawhi is going to be out for like at least game four. I think that series is done. I think that it's going five. Maybe the Clippers like surprise people, but I don't think that they have the spine for it. Like I just don't.
Yeah, I think it's tough, man. Like Kawhi just it's not his fault. He just can't stay healthy, man. So, you know, I really hope that I really hope he figures out a way to be able to play over the course of his career late in season, but. Man, it's just so unfortunate. Like, he just does everything. You know, he rehabs correctly, does a lot of stuff, man, but he's just not able to put it together physically.
Do the Heat win another game in the Heat-Celtics series?
Yeah, they do. Wow. You better believe that series is going six.
God. If that happens, like, I don't know, man. Like, there's a difference between losing to the Lakers and LeBron James and Anthony Davis, and what not a fully healthy Lakers team, but is about as close as you're really going to get to like losing to the Jimmy Butlerless Miami Heat.
I don't tell you, it's Eric Spoelstra.
He's devil magic. I don't understand how he does it. Pat Riley looks like he's conjuring up evil spirits to force Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown to their left hands, and like just makes it happen, man. It's wild to see, but it like that happens every year. And Celtics, I still think the Celtics are going to get to the finals, but like that loss was very interesting. It was very interesting.
The conference is a different aura, bro. Like the Nuggets are trying. Think about it. The Nuggets are trying to put LeBron and AD away in five games. That's their challenge. The Celtics are trying to put the Heat with no Jimmy away in five games. And then the Nuggets are going to try to put away Ant, Rudy away. And they're going to put away Shea, Chet, and J-Dub, or Luka, Kyrie, and team away in five or six games. And then get to the Celtics. Yeah. It's not even like the Celtics are looking at facing the Orlando Magic or the Cleveland Cavaliers right now. And then maybe the Knicks or the Knicks or the Pacers or the Bucks with no Giannis, like, or the 76ers. It's not the same ball, man. Like, it's just not. It's just not.
It's wild that it's even considered the same ball. Because it's just like, it's completely different. Think about like how much better the Mavericks have gotten. And right. Like, they would probably be the second best team in the East right now.
Right.
And then you've got Denver, OKC, and Minnesota who are likely going to advance. And like that final four in the West is going to be crazy. And they're probably all better than all but one team in the East.
Right. Like, yeah, it's just the luck of the draw, man. It's a weird NBA.
Knicks Sixers looks like, I mean, this game is going back and forth, but I mean, it's still attached. Jalen Brunson has 32 points in 32 minutes, along with 9 assists and 0 turnovers. That's wild. Embiid is playing reasonably well. I don't know who's going to win that game. Knicks just hit a 3. But I do think that series might go 7. Like, it just might. That's going to be a tough one. That's whoever wins that series is going to be in hell in the next round just trying to recover physically.
Oh, man, it's too bad. They're going to have to face the gauntlet of Tyrese Halliburton and Benedict Mathurin.
Benedict Mathurin's out, for what it's worth.
True.
It's Pascal Siakam.
Pascal Siakam,
yeah. Who put up 35-10 in two straight games.
He did.
Like, pretty good.
Respect.
Pretty
good. He did. And Aaron Nesmith hit a nice 3. Yeah, he did.
Yeah. But it's a little bit different than any of the West teams. It just is. So you think that the Bucks are done then?
Well, as of this week, it sounded like Giannis hasn't run at all this week. So it's not good news.
Not good news.
It's not worth putting his career at risk for.
Can you imagine how much worse a playoff and a coaching change could go than Adrian Griffin to Doc Rivers and them just immediately falling apart as soon as he arrived?
It's tough, man. That's a tough situation in Milwaukee. I have no idea how they're going to handle it. None.
They're going to need more athleticism. They're probably going to need a replacement at center for Brook, because Brook has not been good. That's somebody that Chris Middleton, obviously, he's got very few amount of years left of playing at a high level, but he can still obviously tap into something pretty impressive.
Right.
I don't know what it's going to happen, what it's going to look like, but just he needs to be better. And then they need more from the rest of their supporting cast, because Dame's clearly not it. Giannis really, he is it when he's healthy, but he's been unhealthy the last two playoff runs. And that matters. That matters in this stage. So I was talking with my brother actually yesterday about how before the regular season, or even before the playoffs even began in this year, Giannis and Jokic have basically the same resume from a two MVPs, one finals MVP, one ring. Right. Obviously Giannis has the defensive intangibles defensive accolades there, but they've basically had a very similar career path.
Mm-hmm.
And Jokic is now separating himself with an MVP and potentially another finals MVP. But those guys were seen on the same path, seen on the mm-hmm. same wavelength by a lot of folks. And now it looks like there's some separation happening.
Yeah, I mean, it's just it's unfortunate that it's because of the injuries. And I think the late game execution last year, they got blown out by the Heat. So, some of this is Giannis. It's not Giannis's fault. But I think their games have just drifted apart. And I think injuries are a part of it, too. Giannis has just been a little banged up. And Jokic has just kept getting better. And people are not even – he just had a 33-14-14 game, and people are just kind of like
– sure.
Nuggets lost.
Yeah, right.
That's it. nobody's even said anything about it. It's not a story at all.
Yeah. Giannis's game is also just a lot more tethered to athleticism than Joker's is. Joker's going to be able to do what he's doing for a long time. Now, I don't think he's going to be able to run the floor the way he's been running the floor for a long time. But at least for the next couple of years, he should be able to do a very similar thing. I'm not sure what Giannis is going to be able to do over these next couple of years from a physical standpoint. That dude's been carrying a heavy burden physically for a long time. And I think his body just may be breaking down a little bit.
Right.
So we'll see. They're probably out. Indiana's probably in. Orlando, Cleveland, any takes?
No, that's just shout out to the Magic, Franz and Paolo. But Cleveland should win that series, but I'm not trusting them anymore.
At this point, they don't deserve the trust. Okay. I think that's going to do it, unless you got any final takes on the Nuggets.
Nope. See y'all after game five.
Yeah, we will see you guys. We might, Swipe and I might try to record something after this on another game five, a little tap in, but should be good. Very excited for the content, of course. Everybody, that is going to do it for this episode of Pickaxe and Roll Weekends with Swipe Edition. Make sure to hit that like button, that subscribe button on the way out. Really appreciate the love and support. We'll be back very, very soon. Thanks, guys.